Get ready for the slaughter phase. It's Thursday, October 15th, 2020. Episode Z24. If you're keeping count, you're about to go down the rabbit hole with Joe and Brian. I'm Brian. With me as always, my good friend Joe. Joe, how you doing tonight?
I'm well, and yourself?
Oh, doing okay. Doing all right, man. I know you find it as a surprise, but been stressed a bit. Work has got me stressed out this week, but don't worry. I'm going to survive.
Yeah, I felt there was a disturbance in the universe. I'm like, crap.
Yeah. Well, I apologize to everyone out there who was affected by my by my stress, but you know, it happens. I can't help it.
You do things on a big level.
Yeah. Next Tuesday, man, is my big day in court for that speeding ticket we talked about a while back, man.
You should be careful, man, because I'm afraid that you're going to get one of those law and order judges and you're going to end up in cuffs.
Dude, I'm hoping that we don't even go to court. I paid this attorney for his connections.
Well, I mean,
I'm hoping he smoozes with the prosecutor and me go with a slap on the wrist or something, man.
You see, that's the thing, like you know, for all you know, the prosecuting attorney, the night before he looked at your case, his girlfriend cheats on him with a guy who drives a car that's exactly like yours.
Jesus. You know,
and all of a sudden, he wants to make an example.
You know, isn't it crazy how it is? It is something. So, not that a cheating girlfriend is minor, but how such a minor thing. I mean, maybe the prosecutor just spills coffee on his tie,
and now he's pissed,
and he's just in a bad mood, and he's just not in a wheel and dealing kind of mood.
Yeah, he wants a. He's in the exacting justice type mood.
Now, see what I got. Yeah, now see what I got to be careful about is this. Also, this weekend, I'm driving down to North Carolina,
and then
I'm coming back Monday, and so it's real easy to drive real fast on those.
Yeah.
Going down through the mountains like that when all the cars are going fast and.
Yeah, no, Brian, like, so for people who don't know, Brian drives like he's Batman.
Oh, wow. Nonsense.
Nonsense? let's be honest, Brian.
But,
Batman.
A few years ago, though, coming home from Myrtle Beach, I did get a speeding ticket. In another car. It was a different car, but I did get a speeding ticket in like Wytheville, West Virginia, I think. Or maybe Virginia, I don't know.
But, how could you even deny that charge? That you drive like Batman when you're being brought in on a ticket for driving how fast?
Hey man. Why are you only talking about the bad times when I get caught? About all the times when I drive normal, or when I let people merge in front of me, and obey the traffic laws and stuff.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, that's not news. So cue your Batman overture music. Well, I'm sure it's going to come out. Everything's going to come out okay. You know, that lawyer's going to, you know, use his influence to grease the wheels of justice to get the the most desirable and ideally and just outcome. You're not like a bad dude running over people. So
I deserve for a little backroom wheeling and dealing to work in my advantage once, right?
Yeah,
it ain't just for the really rich people.
It's also for the moderately rich people.
No, just the middle class, just the your average middle class guy, man.
Right. Sorry, were you driving again? Okay, that's low blow.
It's just white coupe. Well, I don't have my soundboard hooked up tonight, Joe. So let me say, motherfucker, give me two fingers of Johnny Walker Red.
Yeah, that actually. Well, let me answer the question first. So the question is, what am I having?
Yeah, what are you having tonight, man?
And once again, I'm being simple and basic. I'm having a rum and coke with a splash of lemon, coconut. Coconut rum, and a coke with a splash of lemon.
I love that coconut rum, man.
Oh,
I'm gonna have to buy me another bottle.
Oh, I mean, so once you have a good coconut rum, and it's one of those things that it goes in, it goes in with almost any drink, and it's never abusive. It's not like drinking a shot of whiskey.
Right.
I mean, it's strong enough whereby you're drinking alcohol, you can feel the effect, but it doesn't taste terrible going down.
I gotta tell the people, we didn't mention this last week, but obviously 2 weeks ago when I when I choked down that
Southern Comfort,
that later on that week Joe texts me and he's like, I think you're supposed to mix that with something. and I was just like, of course you're supposed to mix it with something. Why did I? But it was my juvenile.
Memories.
My juvenile memories. It was. I mean, we never mixed stuff when I was a kid. I used to get fucked up on blue Malibu. You know, like blue. It's like a blue Curacao or whatever.
Yeah, Curacao.
A mixed drink. Something you mix.
Uh huh.
But I can remember multiple times being in the back seat of someone's car, me and my buddies passing around a fifth of this. Antifreeze looking shit.
You guys are hardcore.
Dumb.
No, but I think now that you have that bottle, it'd be terrible to just let go of the waste. We should find ways for you to enjoy your you have.
Yeah, I need to get some. I need to get some grapefruit juice. That's what you recommended. I'll get some grapefruit juice next time I do some shopping and. See how that. Anything else? What else would I? If I'm shopping for something to cut it with, what else would you recommend? Grapefruit juice and what?
I say grapefruit juice, probably cranberry juice.
Okay, I think I have cranberry juice already.
Yeah, so you're gonna want something that's got a lot of ascorbic acid in it. So think anything with vitamin C in it. So yeah, if you can find an unsweetened pineapple juice, but just any pineapple juice as well. So, yeah, something that has a lot of vitamin C, and since that stuff, if that stuff is half as sweet as you said it was, you may or may not need the added sugar in the juice.
Yeah, it was. It seemed pretty sugary. It had like a really sugary kick kind of to it.
So yeah, that's what I'm having. What are you having?
I'm having some water with some black cherry flavoring in it.
Okay, so this is another one of those Milos?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's pretty tasty.
So, quick question. So, those things come in what, 2 ounce containers? Really small, right?
Yeah, they're really small, but they don't, they like, it's like really concentrated. It doesn't take very much to flavor some water.
So, like, let's say you have a regular large, let's say an 8-ball, sorry, what's it, high ball? Type of glass is it basically a tall slim glass that you if you were to fill that with water, how many squirts or pumps would it take?
Ooh, I'd say about maybe very very like
a teaspoon,
like Well, it's hard to measure because it comes out in like a little tiny stream the size of a needle. So you kind of squeeze it, and it's just, you know, less than a second count. You know, it's just like
like a.
But you'll wanna. I found that each flavor has like its own potency, so you'll wanna do like a taste test. But you can probably get about 20 glasses out of one.
Oh wow! Okay, hey, that's what's up.
Yeah.
I'm less sober because this is gonna be my second drink, and you're gonna you're stone cold sober.
Yeah, I'm trying to be good. I've been trying to. Be good this week, so I don't feel like shit while I'm trying to enjoy myself.
Didn't you say you're taking mom down too?
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. I'm not even my buddy, who lives down there. He's getting the fuck out of Dodge before I even show up. So that's mighty nice of him. No, I'm just playing. This is him and his old lady's 25th anniversary. So, they've already had plans.
Cool.
It just works. So I'm down there by myself. But yeah, I'm dropping mom off at my cousin's, and then she's going to hang out with her sister and my cousin for the weekend, and then I'll be bringing her back Monday.
Quick question. When was the last time your mom drove with you?
Last year, she rode down to Gatlinburg with me.
Do you scare her when you drive?
No, that's the thing. No, I think she's like to the point. She just kind of, I don't know. She's chilled out in her, in her twilight years, man. She doesn't if I scared her, she never said anything.
Fair enough.
Of course I don't drive 100 miles an hour with mom in the car.
Sorry.
Jesus.
Yeah, that was ridiculous of me. I'm sorry.
You're too funny, man.
Funny boohoo. So yeah. What's on tap today?
Well, before we get started, for our YouTube peoples, we'd like for you to like this episode.
Like it.
Subscribe if you haven't already.
Why would you not?
What? It doesn't cost you anything.
Yeah.
It doesn't even hurt. You just move your mouse, click, and that's about it.
Yeah. Yeah, they would be moving their mouse and clicking anyway. So,
You're going to do it 1,000 times a day anyway. What's one more?
Yeah.
You can even hit the little bell, and then it'll even like notify you when a new episode drops, as the professionals say.
Yeah, and just for full disclosure, I'm behind.
Yeah, you might. You might want to just forego the description. I know you spend a lot of time with those descriptions, but
I do spend a lot of time with them. I enjoy writing them, but I need to, because.
But anyway,
it's fun getting them out there.
Oh, I love reading them, man. I get a kick out of them. It's Your takes on me sometimes are funny, man. Not sometimes; they're pretty much always funny.
Yeah, hopefully, funny, ha ha.
In a good way. Yeah. And most importantly, share the episode so other people can find us.
Okay.
I don't know. Since I finally updated our cover art to something that, while it's not necessarily complete in my eyes, it kind of looks complete. So, I think I'm going to try and start submitting the podcast to different podcast directories. Mainly, I guess the most important one is iTunes, which I suspect will be the hardest to be accepted to. But
no, I think it's already on iTunes.
Really?
Yeah, I got a text message from Benita like last week, and she was like, "This is how it appears on iTunes." I can confirm with her, but I'm pretty sure it's already there.
Well, I'll be damned.
Yeah. And it comes across on my what podcast do I use? It's Podcast Republic. The RSS feeds come through, and yeah.
Well, how the hell did that happen? Maybe one of our wonderful millions of listeners. Maybe someone out there submitted it for us or something. I don't know.
Wow.
I didn't do it. I didn't do anything.
You're joking, right? You're serious.
I'm serious in that I didn't do anything.
Okay.
So that's. I'm going to have to investigate this because I thought I needed to submit it to iTunes and then they would reject it and say we need this and I'd have to tweak it and resubmit it and so if it's already there, that's good news, but it's news to me.
Is the RSS does the RSS populate it?
Does the RSS populate what?
Okay, so I got this on October 7th. This is how the feed looks on iTunes. Cool photo. Benita. 2:25 p.m.
Okay. And it's my artwork there?
Yeah.
Huh.
Okay, so like it looks like we have a mystery to look into because I mean,
I'm not complaining. I'm not arguing. I'm glad it's there. It's just I'm surprised. So yeah, good news. Good news, people.
Good news. Well, we hope. I mean, I know you're nervous about the tech companies because you think they're a bunch of lying, cheating, stealing, conniving.
I hate them bastards, man.
Yeah, but once again. A broke clock is once, twice a day. Is either that or they're maliciously stealing your work.
What would be funny is if, or I don't know, this would be funny boo-hoo in that if they're playing ads before, or during, or after the podcast, man, and then we ain't getting paid.
Can't have that.
No.
Okay. Well, let's run that down, and then we can.
This is. I'm going to check iTunes, and then there's some. I'm going to check Spotify, iHeartRadio, these, and even Google, because these people they're starting to get into the podcast game kind of hard now. So, yeah.
I'm going to send this to you tonight. That way, you'll have it.
Yeah, I want to see it, yeah. All right, back to regularly scheduled programming. sorry about that, people. We kind of...
Yeah, that's a rabbit hole that you guys probably didn't get.
Yeah, that was one of those rabbit holes that's no fun. But, so we have a George Floyd update.
Yes. So...
And...
You were saying...
No, I just got your text, I think, so it distracted me. But no, yeah, we have a George Floyd update, and you have that article, so I'm going to let you educate me on what's going on.
Yes, Professor Joe's in session. Please. So last week we talked about how Derek Chauvin, how he got out of jail. I think this happened like maybe, day before, something like that, how he got out of jail. And I think at the time we were making jokes about it, if he's how quickly he's going to be driving to the border of Canada or Mexico, and right. Then there was a question asked of whether or not he'd be able to be outside of the state, and so we got an answer to that. Let's see, Derek Chauvin can await murder trial outside of state amid safety concerns. NPR, the Hennepin County judge has allowed Derek Chauvin, the former Minneapolis police officer charged with the murder and killing of George Floyd, to leave the state due to safety concerns. Judge Peter Cahill, issued a new order on Thursday changing the terms of Chauvin's bond. The 44-year-old was released from Oak Park Heights prison on Wednesday after posting $1 million bond. He's supposed to remain he was supposed to remain in Minnesota, but Cahill's latest decision said the Department of Correction provided evidence supporting the concerns that have arisen in Chauvin's pretrial conditional release. The ruling allows Chauvin to move to a neighboring state while he awaits trial, so long as he maintains mandatory contact with the conditional release officer and carries a mobile phone on his person at all times and can be reached by officials. Cahill's order also states that Chauvin's new address will be kept confidential and only shared with agencies on a need-to-know basis. Additionally, previous bond conditions are still in place, not including working in security, security capacity, no firearms or firearm permits, and no contact with Floyd's family. Let's see.
So he could get a job if he wanted.
Well, I mean, out means you're out, apparently. So yeah, he could go get a job, but he can go to the party shack if he was so interested. That's where I'd be. Let me read a little bit more.
Wait. Did it say no? You can't drink alcohol when you're on probation, can you? Or a bail, or
I think you can't do anything illegal. But I guess you can't do anything that runs counter to whatever agreement you signed. But I mean,
right.
But let's see here. Chauvin was arrested 3 days after killing. Sorry, 3 days after the killing, and now faces charges of second degree and third degree murder and manslaughter. And three former Minneapolis police officers, Alexander Kung, Thomas Lane, and Tao, who were on the scene that day, have been charged in aiding and abetting Chauvin. This is interesting to me. Floyd family was outraged by the decision. The fact that Derek Chauvin is being given special treatment out of a concern for his safety demonstrates the stark contrast between two systems of justice in America, Bing Crump, the attorney for Floyd family, said. Can you imagine a black man being awaiting trial? Sorry. Can you imagine a black man awaiting trial for murder being allowed to leave the state out of concern for his safety? He added the police were not concerned about Floyd's safety, even as he choked him. Yeah, well, okay, yeah, but what say you?
I get and I agree with the sentiment. Then again, I guess you couldn't, if you was to put him in general population, I don't know. I don't think he should have been let out. I think he should have been kept in solitary or something. Don't put him in Gen Pop where he's likely to be
ended
attacked. That you don't want to do that. But he doesn't need to be out of jail either. He should be in
somebody's
kind of rooms. The kind of rooms that that they were keeping Epstein in. You know.
Suicide watch.
Yeah, I mean,
that didn't work all that well, man.
I know. Well,
oh no, anything but that. You probably prefer General Pop than
Yeah, I can agree. Yeah, I would be outraged one if he was let out, and two if he was once he was let out if they gave him special treatment to keep him safe. Yeah. That's bullshit.
Well, hey.
But who am I?
We are apparently people who don't matter because, I mean, you know, as much as we would like to believe, they're just not listening to us, man.
I know. No matter how loud we yell.
So, yeah. Chauvin lurks the streets again, probably in somewhat a diminished capacity. I don't think he's trying to, you know. You're probably right, trying to keep a very low profile.
I would be hitting Party Source as well if I mean if he's not going to be checked and all he has to do is like answer his phone when people call, then I can't think of a better way to spend my time before.
Reporting the lockdown?
Yeah, right. I mean, it might be the last time I get to drink a beer or 12. So,
quick question: What states? I mean, okay. Oh God! Oh no! This guy's gonna suffer. I mean, the states that border him are North Dakota, South Dakota, Iowa, and Wisconsin. I mean, like none of those places seem like they have like any, thing to do.
Which one would you go to?
So Canada's not an option because
It wouldn't hurt to try, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the thing is, if you try,
and fail, then it's no dice.
Yeah, no dice. I like cheese, so.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Wisconsin.
Yeah, I mean, actually, Wisconsin is known for beer, right?
It is, isn't it?
I know cheese, but for some reason, Wisconsin.
Is that where that show with Laverne and Shirley took place and they worked in a brewery?
I thought so. What was the name of that show?
Laverne and Shirley, I think.
Okay. That makes sense. For some reason, that show keeps on coming up in our conversation.
We've mentioned them before. I don't remember why exactly, but I think it's because of that imagery.
No, Milwaukee is in Wisconsin, and somebody brews beer in Milwaukee.
Yeah, there's old Milwaukee.
Oh, there you go. That's why, beer in Milwaukee, or sorry, in Wisconsin. I would want to go someplace where I knew they had beer and that I knew they didn't have any ridiculous, blue law where I couldn't, get a drink on a Sunday. So
I don't know if I'd want to go to a state that's known for old Milwaukee.
Yeah. And they're riding over there too. I mean, where's he going to go, Kenosha? There's no good options.
Yeah.
I would say poor guy, but we're talking about Derek Chauvin.
And he's an asshole.
Yeah.
It's funny how even assholes have like that asshole look. You look at him and he just looks like an asshole.
Yeah.
Not even knowing anything about him, he just looks like an asshole.
It's funny because as I was reading the story, that's what I was like. Yeah, like just this guy.
Yeah. Kind of like that dude in Georgia who was following Ahmed Arbery and was filming it.
Yeah,
he just looks like a piece of shit, man, with his little bowl haircut, and he just
We should put together some criteria for just like a quick reference guide to deciding or deciphering if somebody's an a-hole.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't have to be 100%. If it's like 80%, like, if you got a bowl haircut, I don't know.
Yeah, and you said that he's also like got some sex charges against him, and you thought that they were with
minors,
underage, and I'd say he looks like a little pedophile.
See, I mean, there's something that we can, we can do the world a great service if we, were to be able to put together some.
We're not allowed to profile Joe.
Okay. Well, if we can't profile, maybe we can talk about what's the Arbery story.
The other, like last week, I think we was talking about how they were arguing. They wanted, his attorney was trying to keep his private text messages out of court.
Mm-hmm.
And they kept referring to him as
racial.
They kept referring to him as racial. And I was just, and we both were kind of like, seriously,
what does
man,
that mean?
what does that mean? Yeah. So this is from BET website.
BET?
Yeah.
Huh. They do news?
I did. Well, that's what I was thinking. I didn't know either, but I guess they do.
Holy crap.
And this is a racial text messages from man who filmed the fatal shooting revealed.
Dun, dun, dun.
And, William Roddy Bryan is one of the three men charged in the killing of 25-year-old Ahmaud Arbery Bryan, who filmed the shooting and is also being investigated for sex crimes, is maintaining he did nothing wrong. But now his racist text messages have surfaced.
So that thing that you were saying, and you thought it was in the dark of night, that no one else would see what you were saying, and you're like,
So they, on October 10th, an episode of 48 Hours aired that focused on Arbery. I'd kind of like to have seen that, although I don't watch live television. So
48 Hours is life. Is life?
Isn't that that's a television show, right? 48 Hours?
Oh, yeah, but I didn't know it was live. So.
Well, I mean, when I say live, I mean, like, I don't watch regular television. I download all my shows after the fact.
Gotcha.
But I need to see if I can find that. Maybe that would have been interesting to see. But anyway, I digress. An episode of 48 Hours aired that focused on Arbery and revealed prosecutors notified the court 2 weeks ago that they intend to introduce trial evidence of past racial slurs investigators found on Roddy Bryan's phone.
So he's playing all the golden oldies, all the golden hits.
that's a good way of putting it. A text sent from Roddy Bryan's number on January 20th, Martin Luther King Day, read, "I bet y'all are truly having a monkey parade over there." How? I bet his mom must be proud. Actually, she may be. She may be proud.
Did it say who that message was sent to?
It does not.
Probably for protecting the innocent.
I gotta suggest that, or I gotta think that, if he felt comfortable saying that to them, that they're just as much a piece of shit as he is.
Two peas in a pod? What do they say, the birds of the feather? What together?
Flock together.
Yeah.
Huh. There are also multiple pages of him using the N-word, CBS News correspondent Omar Villafranca stated. Bryan's lawyer, Kevin Goff, said using the N-word doesn't make him racist. Goff also stated, "It's not a word I would use, but I'm not Roddy Bryan."
But does that seem accurate to you?
No, he may not be a racist, but he uses racist language. How's that?
Yeah, that doesn't make sense. Like, what's Dave Chappelle say? Like, yeah, just because I'm wearing,
just because I'm wearing a whore's uniform doesn't mean I'm a whore.
Yeah, it's like, wait a second, you don't get to say that out loud. I mean, you don't get to, you know.
Love me some Dave Chappelle. Yeah. So that's about it. Everything else, they're just kind of rehashing what we already know. But so, yeah, we asked last week what the messages were, and this week they revealed themselves.
So, yeah, it's
amazing. I'm worse off for knowing.
Was it a big surprise or not really?
Well, no, I expected it to be. I just expected it to be a bunch of N-word stuff. The whole bringing out the whole what he said is. It's, I don't know. I just.
So you don't think anything was gained from it, or do you think it was gained? You just didn't want to be silly with it.
What do I think? What was gained? In what terms? I'm sorry.
In terms of displaying his mindset, showing motive.
Oh, I don't think. I really, to be honest, I don't. I think it's one of those. It's one of those instances that where it just confirms what everybody thought.
Okay. So it doesn't seem like it didn't add anything.
No, it's not. I mean, it's not like I think any less of him. I already, you know, I was already at rock bottom with that. So this is just.
That's not the Brian I know.
Yeah. It just confirms my original beliefs, really. Yeah. So,
I mean, we were going to touch on that very lightly anyway. So,
yeah.
Because it's important to us that we follow this story through its.
We are documenting this to the end, people.
Yeah. What do they call this? History's first draft? No, that's the Washington Post. But you get the idea.
Something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. We're like a documentary journalist opinion guys, something like that.
Yeah. All right. So I moving on here. Looks like we have. I'll just. Senator Lindsey Graham says black people are free to go anywhere in South Carolina, so long as they're conservative. Okay, did he really? Is that really what he said?
I guess we're going to read this article and find out in short order. Well, what do you think about Lindsey Graham?
I don't like him.
Yeah, I was going to imagine that if I were a betting man, I would have assumed that Brian would hate Lindsey, not hate, dislike Lindsey Graham almost as much as he dislikes Mr. McCain.
Yeah. Well, they were little buddies for a while, right? Yeah, they were little butt buddies there for quite a while.
Okay, we're getting canceled.
And while he's recovered a little bit from his exposure to McCain, he still I don't like him. I'd if I could swap him out for another for a conservative.
He's conservative. The way he's tap danced and switched and flipped and flopped about this whole filling the Supreme Court's seat.
I don't like him. I guess. But
do you remember when he ran for president? He ran against Trump.
Was he one of those? He
was one of the 17, you know, in the 17 slaughter or slaughtered 17.
Huh. I didn't. If I knew that, I'd forgotten.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But let's see here. Senator Lindsey Graham said on Friday night, young people of color are safe in South Carolina, but only if they are not liberal. So the same thing as saying, if you are liberal, you are not safe. Is that?
I want to hear. Okay, there's a.
Yeah,
I got a clip here.
It's part of the article.
Okay, I'm gonna play this, and I will try to inject this into the show after the fact. But I'm gonna play this so that I can hear it at least, and I want to see the context here.
Okay. Are you playing it so that we can both hear it?
I don't know if you'll be able to hear it or not.
So I would do the magic of editing.
And of course it's not playing.
So even that quote's so bad that even Brian, a guy who holds this man in really low regard.
Well, it just seems stupid. It just seems like a dumb thing to say. Like there's, I can't think of it. It has to be a joke. He's got to be joking. Otherwise, I can't see why.
You can't compute. Why would you say these words out loud? Like I said, oftentimes when a politician says something dumb out loud in front of a microphone and a camera, he was prompted by a reporter.
Well, and that's true too. We'll, this is going to, during post-production here, I will, I'll find this clip and I'll insert it, and then
if you go to the link that I sent, it's a 10-second clip.
Yeah, it won't play. It just sits there. It just sits there and buffers. It won't play for me.
Oh, I'm sorry, dude.
Yeah, can you play it? You play it and tell me what it is.
Oh, sure. Let's see here.
Although I don't know how much context you're going to get out of a 10-second clip.
It seemed like he was answering. It seemed like he was answering a question that was something like, it seemed like he was answering a question about, like, if people of color, I hate that phrase, feel safe, can feel safe in South Carolina. That seemed like the question he was answering.
Okay. Well, then, it's a poor joke, but I think it would be a joke to be like, sure, you can go anywhere as long as you're a conservative, or.
Yeah. He says, you need to be conservative, not liberal. Graham is fighting to keep his Senate seat against Jamie Harrison, a black former state legislator who spoke at the forum just before him. Polls show that Graham and Harris are tied, 48% of support of each, according to the Quinnipiac poll conducted last week of September. At the forum, Graham spoke about his support for South Carolina police officers, but said the killing of George Floyd in May was wrong and people should be made to pay a price. Floyd's death and others indicate police brutality have led to widespread calls for police reform. I do believe that our cops are systematically racist. No. I do believe that South Carolina is a racist state. No. Graham said in the event. Is that? To young people of color, to immigrants, this is a great state. One moment. One thing I can say without any doubt, you can be an African American and go anywhere in the state. Views of our state.
No, you can go anywhere. You can go anywhere in the Senate. You can be African American and go to the Senate.
Oh,
you just have to share the values of our state.
I'm sorry, I got that twisted. Okay.
The only African American Republican in the country.
Yeah, it's Tim Scott. Graham been pointing to Senator Tim Scott of South Carolina, the only African American Republican in the country, he said. Graham also named dropped a daughter of Indian American Nikki Haley, who is a former governor of South Carolina. In South Carolina, folks, it's not about your color of your skin or where you come from. It's about your ideas, Graham continued. So, yeah.
Well, it's interesting that when they expounded on all that, they never said what they said up above, but I don't know. I'll have to see this.
All right, well.
I mean, they're, this tweet is written as though he's being quoted.
Yeah, I think that was a quote, but hey, I mean, I've got to
it. Well, it's written like a quote. Well, we'll find out. I will. I hate when the show is like this, but we'll find out after the fact. And yeah, but that's. I'm right now. I'm just saying that it's a stupid guy who thought he was making a funny joke, but he wasn't. It was a stupid joke.
Yeah, I'm just surprised he said that out loud. Even if it was a joke.
Yeah.
But I don't believe that you can go anywhere in South Carolina and be safe. I wouldn't feel safe in South Carolina. But that's neither here nor there.
Young immigrants, this is a great state. The one thing I can say without any doubt, you can be an African American and go to the Senate. You just have to share the values of our state. Tim Scott is in the Senate. He's the only African-American Republican in the country. Nikki Haley is a daughter of Indian immigrants raised in Denmark, South Carolina. She became our governor. In South Carolina, folks, it's not about the color of your skin or where you came from. It's about your ideas. The reason I'm going to win this race is because my ideas, my conservative philosophy, my willingness to reach across the aisle fits our state. I am in line with Tim Scott and Nikki Haley. My opponent's going to lose, not because of race, but because he's aligned with the most liberal people in the country. He's raising $50 million from liberals all over the country to flip this state into the Democratic column. It's not going to work. So count me in for reforming the police. I voted for the First Step Act that gave African-American males and Hispanic males who've been imprisoned under the Joe Biden Three Strikes You Out bill. President Trump led the way. I worked with Cory Booker. There are a lot of people getting out of jail who were sentenced to long terms in jail for nonviolent offenses. They can go back to their families. They can get a job. 31% of our state is African American. I'm asking to every African American out there, look at my record. I've been supporting historically black colleges and universities, and I'm glad President Trump has made it a permanent fixture now. We don't have to beg every year for the money. I care about everybody. If you're a young African-American, an immigrant, you can go anywhere in this state. You just need to be conservative, not liberal.
Yeah, that, you know, that's probably not fair. It's funny because here in D.C., there are a lot of South Carolinians.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of them. I mean, there's a disproportionately high number of South Carolinians.
I mean, like, I guess for work of some sort?
Yeah, I assume. Coming here and working as staff, coming here and just being here. I mean, that could be either, just they're all here because of, you were saying?
Do you see just like a bunch of South Carolina license plates, or how do you know they're from South Carolina?
Oh, I mean, it's like one of the first things you discover about people when you first meet them is like, hey, where are you from? Because in this area, you assume
that's right.
That everyone's
you're a nice guy who talks to people.
I do talk to people. Oh, you're like,
yeah.
Well, what's that like? Find out where.
Yeah.
How did this information about where you come from? How do you know that?
Yeah, how do you know that, man?
Why?
I forgot, Joe. Very, you are a, I have the perfect word, and it escaped me. But
I'm telling you, man, I think you should stay away from that water stuff because it makes you lose words.
You may be right. Maybe it's that Mio flavoring shit. Maybe it's rotting my brain.
I mean, in 10 years we'll have a study that suggests it. And in 15, they'll confirm it. So,
but yeah, you're very, open to meeting new people and talking. So, yeah.
Yeah, my sister used to call me a friendly Bob.
A friendly Bob.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, how you doing? Yeah, want to talk? Yeah, blah blah blah. So.
You know what? I'm just going to blurt it out in about 15-20 minutes.
Yeah,
it'll come to me then.
Or 2 o'clock in the morning.
Or 2 o'clock in the morning, I'll text you, and you'll probably answer.
Yeah, yeah. And I would because I've not been sleeping.
So Joe Biden's polling. This next one is Joe Biden's polling is better than any challenger since 1936. Than any challenger since 1930s. I just don't know, man. I just can't. Here's my official thought on the polls, and I know I've said this before, but I'll say it again. I think it's all about money, and I think that the news, the corporations that own the news, they want to get that ad money.
Mm-hmm.
And so
like money, 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 money.
And so if the polls were like, if the polls were just so lopsided right now that there was just no, there was no Trump or Biden, if it was just 100% one way or the other, then there's no point in buying ads and
see. I thought about that. I think on a surface that makes sense, but when you sit back and think about it, and you realize that the stakes are so high, so when you're running a campaign to be president of the United States, you're pretty much, you know, looking to be the guy that has the big pen, so to speak.
Right.
Yeah, and so, you know, the guy who has the big pen, you know, everybody wants, you know, if even if it wasn't closed, they'll be running the polls just because people want to know how they should hedge their bets and, you know, make arrangements for their, you know, their
I'll concede their investments. I may have been too simplistic. Did you hear? I think it's the New York Times. Is it the New York Times that has like the meter, like the, it looks like a speedometer or whatever about the likelihood that one candidate's going to win? Like,
it's one of them, but we can find.
I heard that they said that like Biden is like a 91% chance to win now.
Really?
That's what they said.
Okay. Let me read a little bit of the article, okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
So, former Vice President Joe Biden is dominating Donald Trump in the latest polls. The election is not over yet, and Trump still has a non-negligible chance of winning. But a look through history reveals that Biden is in a better position at this point than any challengers since 1936. Is he in a better position than, let's say, Bill Clinton against George H.W. Bush? When the first scientific polls were taken for presidential race. Okay, so the ABC/Washington Post poll released on Sunday was the latest poll to indicate Biden's strength. Biden led Trump by 55-43% margin among likely voters. The poll was the third high-quality national poll published this week that had Biden up by at least 10 points and above 50%. The other two being from CNN and Fox. Indeed, an average of the polls has Biden around 52 or 53 and up by somewhere between 10 and 11 points. This is an unprecedented position for a challenger with a mere 23 days before the election.
Do you believe in the invisible Trump supporter?
Yes. But the invisible Trump supporter isn't invisible. He just isn't plugged in.
But I mean the ones that lie to pollsters.
I honestly don't think that there are that many invisible Trump supporters in national polls. I think in national polls, I think they really are getting about a 55% people who are picking up the phone and saying, yeah, down with Trump. But the national polls aren't the ones that matter.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, my opinion.
Well, you're absolutely right. It's the state, you know, we're a representative republic. So each state's polls are really what counts.
So like had this article been written slightly differently, and had they said instead of national poll, if they had said in polls of Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Florida, Colorado, and right. North Carolina, he's leading 55-43%. That would.
I think I said last week that I had seen the Florida poll that
yeah,
had him
up by
like
eight.
Yeah.
And that poll did catch my attention, but. It didn't catch my attention enough to be like, oh, I better go and follow that up. Maybe I should.
I'll tell you what concerns me most. I don't buy these at all. I'm pretty sure that we're looking at a landslide victory, the likes of which we've never seen before.
If I could quote
Trump.
So what makes you say that? Like what, like you know. There's somebody out there that makes you that there's there's something out there that is real, mm-hmm. that makes you, gives you the information where you can hang your hat on that. What are you pointing to?
I'm pretty sure we talked about this before, but one, I'll say it's just a feeling that you get, but it's the same feeling I had during both of Obama's elections.
Yeah.
Now I was not an Obama supporter, but there was just this feeling of inevitability in the air, and you just felt it.
So you're like a presidential election whisperer.
Well. Kind of, I guess, but but then also, you know, I just don't see support for Biden anywhere. I look around and I see tons of, and maybe it's, I don't know.
Here's a question. So between your in driving from Brian's crib to Mom's crib.
Yeah.
How much signage do you see? Oh, sorry, signage or bumper stickers?
It's all Trump.
So from can I say what states to from what state to what state?
Oh, what you mean?
In terms of the area you're driving between.
Oh yeah, I'm fine. You know,
right, so Northern Kentucky is someplace in Southwest Ohio, correct?
Yeah.
Very important area for both parties to win if they're going to capture Ohio. And right. You're saying that most of that is what the signage in terms of bumper stickers to signs to just stuff you see is for Trump?
Yes, but it's rural. It's rural.
I
don't know, man. I said that to say this. I'm not worried about the presidential election. What I'm worried about is the Senate and the House.
Okay.
Because if we lose the Senate and if the Dems keep the House and gain the Senate, well, it's going to be a shit show.
If the Democrats keep the House and the Republicans lose the Senate, they're going to impeach him and Trump wins. See, the thing is, I can't envision a scenario, or it's hard for me to envision a scenario where Trump wins and they lose the Senate.
Right. Well, I hope that's true. But that's when I look at this election coming up, that's my concern. It's not so much the presidential election, but it's the House and Senate.
Let's see here. So, I mean, in the face of this, three high-quality polls.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm telling you, man, like, you know, instead of spending all this money on those polls and fancy consultants, I mean, they can save themselves a lot of money by just simply listening to our podcast, man. Just, you know.
Which is apparently on iTunes now.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we are, you know.
It can't be any easier to find us.
Yeah. I mean, they, yeah.
you know, an interesting something. This isn't morbid, but it's kind of. If you can find like an audio clip of Joe Biden from like this time last year. And just compare just the way he speaks, his cadence and everything to now. It's such a huge difference, man. There's something wrong, kind of a difference. It's just an interesting. Yeah, we'll have to put some clips together for next week, maybe.
Yeah, we might have to, because we can't put that out there and be like, oh yeah, we just never got around to it. I mean, we should get around to it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I'll try to do that.
Where's that?
So.
Hello.
Yeah, I'm here.
Let's see. Oh, you're just making sure. Let's see. And what's our next story? Or is there anything else we wanted to cover in that story?
No, I think that story is.
But
we do have.
Let me say this one quick thing before we get off this.
Okay.
So, you know, you have a feeling that this is not going to happen for Biden, and I guess I have the same feeling, and kind of the thing that I've drawn my feeling off of is I sit down and I make it a point to watch rallies that each of them are doing. Okay. So I'll watch a Biden rally and I'll watch a Trump rally. And my central thesis is that the person who wants a presidency is a person that the average person, sorry, the candidate who wins a presidency is the candidate who the average person wants to have a beer with. So I think, you know, positions and polls and values and, you know, planks, all that stuff is secondary to, you know, the average person would rather have a beer with candidate A or candidate B. If they want to have a beer, if the average person would have a beer with candidate A, that's the guy who's likely going to win. And I've been looking at elections since I was like about 10. And okay. that rule has never failed me, ever. And when I look at these two candidates, and just judging by their rallies, it would suggest to me that more people want to go and have a beer with Donald Trump over Joe Biden. And just today, I sat down and watched an hour and a half rally by Donald Trump and about a half an hour rally by Joe Biden, and the contrast could not be more stark. You know, one team is obviously more energetic and jacked. And I'll give anyone who wants to say, yeah, there's a lot of Trump hate out there, but there's also a lot of Trump love out there as well. So, there you have it.
That's well put, I think. And I think there's something to that. I can see I can see what you're saying with the have a beer. I like that. I like that measurement. But then again, I'm an alcoholic.
But you probably like to have a beer with either one of them, right? Now, the crazy thing is that neither of them drink, really.
I mean, right. I'll bet Biden used to drink.
Oh yeah, I think that's the point. I think he used to drink, but I think he was he probably would hit the sauce too hard. And, you know, maybe he saw his dad hit the sauce real hard, thought to himself, maybe I should,
I was never a Biden fan. I think I've even said this before, but back in the, during the 90s and maybe some of the 2000s or whatever, whenever I'd hear him talk, you know, he was always like that all shucks kind of, he didn't seem horrible, I guess, but yeah.
My thing is that he sounds very authentic as a all shucks, like, hey, you know, like, you know, I always think of the guy who used to host The Price is Right.
Yeah, Bob Barker.
Yes. I think Joe Biden is, you know, he's you know, the Bob Barker. But, you know, kind of, I think Joe Biden and Bob Barker are pretty much the same guy. You know, one decided to,
I don't know what to think about that, but it blows my mind.
I mean, I haven't met a person who doesn't like Bob Barker, probably with the exception of one of the models that was on the show. Because my understanding is he was Bob Little Handsy.
Little Handsy, yeah.
Yeah, but, yeah, people all love, I mean, yeah, Bob Barker, Joe Biden.
That's great. I like that.
Let's see.
Well, we've got a story here about Goldman Sachs says says sell the dollar due to the increasing odds of a Biden-led blue wave and progress on COVID-19 vaccine. Now, this is a particularly interesting story to me because, and I didn't mention this before the show because I wasn't sure I was going to mention it, but I like I said, you know, I've recently changed jobs this year. And I left my old job, and my 401k is just kind of sitting there in an account. And I have some options. I can roll it over to my new one. I can cash it out.
Don't do that.
Or I can do a little of both. Well, you say don't do that, but I think I'm going to do that.
Cash it out?
I think I am.
My understanding, there are significant.
There's a lot. There's a lot of penalties to
well,
it.
My experience has also been if you're making that decision, you're making it for a reason, and so I don't want to begin to.
Yeah, I've got reason. I have reasons. But the thing is what I'm debating, because right now I can look at it, and from week to week, the balance can fluctuate. I've seen it fluctuate $30,000 one way or the other.
Holy crap.
It fluctuates that much.
Well, I mean,
so I'm pretty sure I'm going to cash it out, but I'm like, do I want to do it now? Because I think if Trump wins, I think it'll go even higher than it is right now. But if Biden wins, I'm pretty sure that it's gonna really go south, and I'm kind of that's just something that I'm debating right now. So
I remember last time, 2016, as it became clear that Trump was winning, I think there's like a, you know, 700 point drop.
Oh yeah,
you could almost hear the gears grinding as they were coming to the realization of who's going to win, and I would expect a similar grinding of gears and kind of like, you know, almost or just this shock almost,
right.
No matter who wins.
No, I remember listening to this podcast that was doing live coverage of the election last time, and one they really took glee in the fact that when it was obvious that Trump had won, that the market dropped, but it was like the next day it was back up, and then, you know, it set all kinds of records up until this virus hit, and then I don't know, it's just the stock market seems to like Trump, so
well, have you ever seen Trump speak on the stock market?
No.
Yeah, there. I used to follow CNN. Sorry, CNBC. You know, really closely, and once every 6 months, once a year, they'd have Donald Trump talking about the stock market, and although he's perfected that skill of sounding like a guy who, you know, I think most people think of him as like the politically incorrect uncle that, you know, that comes and drives the conversation towards politics during Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the average, how the average person kind of thinks of Donald Trump, or, you know, uncle or grandfather. And he'll come on and talk about the stock market, and you realize, holy crap, you know, yeah, he talks the way he talks. He talks the way he speaks. He speaks the way he speaks, but he got a few insights on what makes the stock market go. And so, to me, it's not a huge surprise that he would know or have a pretty good idea of what levers to push and pull on to drive stock market or shares higher. So, let me tuck into the story a little bit.
Sure.
Investors should sell the dollar as chances for a decisive win by Democrat Joe Biden at next month's presidential election, and as progress continues towards an effective vaccine against COVID-19, Goldman Sachs strategist said on Friday. Strategist led by Zach Pandy said in a note, the two key drivers for currencies are now the Democrats taking control of both Congress and the Senate, and in a Biden win November 3rd, and a progress on the vaccine. Although there are many uncertainties around both, the risks are skewed towards dollar weakness, and we see relatively low odds of the most dollar positive outcome, a win by Mr. Trump combined with a meaningful vaccine delay, said Goldman. Goldman said that the chances of so-called blue wave have risen to more than 60% based on Biden's growing lead over the president in recent polls. 60%. Holy crap. In our view, a blue wave U.S. election and favorable news on the vaccine timeline could return trade and weighted dollar indexes to their 2018 lows, the bank said. The U.S. dollar index tracks the strength of the greenback against six major currencies, has dropped around 5% in the past 6 months, and is around 5.3 above where it was traded at January 2018. Goldman suggests investors should short the dollar against a volatility-weighted basket made up of South African rand, blah, 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 blah. They're basically saying that there's a 60% chance of a Biden winning, and that's going to have impacts.
The experts say.
Okay. Okay. Once again, that's kind of one of the things I love about this stuff is that there's a date that's final. We'll get to see who's right and who's blowing hot air.
The thing is they're like weathermen, though. It doesn't matter how wrong they are, they're always considered experts.
You know what? That is something that is good you put your finger on, because a good number of the people were saying that Biden's going to take it all and Biden's going to win it all. They were saying about the same thing 4 years ago. Mm. And they also have jobs.
Yeah. And they're looked to as experts in whatever they do.
Will these people ever learn, Brian?
I don't think so.
Hmm.
Oh well. This next article is I mean I don't know anything about this particular article, but it should be fun. Trump says that he'll take a good look, strong look, at whether UFOs exist.
Hmm.
President Donald Trump was asked about the existence of UFOs during an interview with Maria Bartiromo. I think she's the money honey, right?
Yeah, it's funny. She used to be on the PBS Business News.
Okay. Trump said he first heard about the Pentagon's Unidentified Aerial Phenomena Task Force, which was announced in August, 2 days ago.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I mean...
He also added that he'd take a good, strong look at the existence of UFOs, and when asked about unidentified flying objects in 2019, Trump expressed skepticism. Now, doesn't it seem like this kind of a topic comes up just periodically? I don't know what's the purpose of them bringing up this question? I mean,
I can only hope but think that it's in case the murder hornet story doesn't scare people enough.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, the murder hornets. What else? They're just the murder hornets. What else They're just, you know.
And the crazy thing is that, Maria Bartiromo, or whatever her name is, she's Italian.
Bartiromo, I guess.
Yeah, Bartiromo. She's a very serious type journalist. I mean, she's not like, you know, you're not going to see her doing, you know, interviewing the president one day and then the next day doing a story on some local band.
Yeah, yeah, so for her to start to want to ask about UFOs is bizarre.
Yeah, yeah, so like, yeah, yeah, so, you know, that's, yeah. But I think it was maybe our first or second show, there was another article that came out about, the Pentagon releasing UFO videos and stuff like that.
Yep.
And so, I mean, who knows, maybe after, you know, 2020 has been a crazy year, and maybe we'll find out that they're aliens. Just in case.
We could so go down the rabbit hole with this. You know, there's like, aside from the whole what the realization of aliens might do to religion around the world.
I take issue with that. I'm not so sure if the religions would be all that bothered.
Well, that's the thing. I don't. That seems okay. That seems to be the common the common thought on it. But I'm with you. I don't necessarily know why that would have to interfere with religion. But as it seems like the common accepted knowledge is that it would cause it to crash and burn globally.
Well,
but
I mean, part of me says, like, you know, if there were UFOs, okay, I mean, and this is gonna sound ridiculous, I mean, to me the only real rationale for keeping nuclear weapons is if you believe there are UFOs.
That's true.
Yeah, because I mean, if the UFO, if ET can come from wherever he is to us, you know,
I know where the answers are. I just need to get that that position in Vatican City, man. I need to be the ambassador. I need that ambassadorship in Vatican City, and I'll get to the bottom of this shit.
No, Brian.
What?
You know,
what?
Newt's wife has that on lock, okay?
Oh.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's just not going to happen for you now. Now.
Ah.
But, you know, as a, what's the guy's name? Man. Who's the guy that says he wants to drown government in a bathtub?
Oh.
Mom Brannigan is convinced that he is, I'm not going to, I don't know if she wants that. So. He's an interesting guy. What's his name? I can see his face and his beady little eyes. Damn it. Okay, well.
Did we mention it? Did we mention him a few shows back?
Yes. Grover Norquist.
Okay.
That's his name. Grover Norquist. Like, let's see here. What outfit does he run? Norquist. Tax reduction advocate and founder and president of Americans for Tax Reform. Yeah, he's got this famous quote of saying, "In America, in 25 years, anything is possible." So, you two could be the ambassador to the Vatican in 25 years, Brian.
And when I do, I'm going to get down to those archives and I'm going to expose everything.
Well,
moving on. Oh, look, we were just speaking of murder hornets. Look at this.
Holy crap!
Just when I didn't think it could get any worse.
What a coinky dink. How did it get worse, man?
Well, apparently, murder hornets they have different phases that they go through, and apparently one of those phases is called the slaughter phase.
Holy crap, that doesn't sound good.
No, not good at all.
Let's see here.
So, I mean, first of all, like we established, they murder. They're hornets that murder.
Yeah. Oh yeah. They are murderous hornets. Hornets that murder. Yeah. We got that much. Yeah.
Yeah, and that seems. I mean, to get that name, you must have some sort of a bloody trail that left behind.
Yeah, I assume to get a name like that, you earned it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that like one of those names where you can, they, you know, when you're they call you but you're like, you know, abnormally large, so it's like ironic. You know, I think the murder hornets bodies stack some.
Yeah, exactly. But apparently, we weren't scared enough by reports that murder hornets were probably going to take over the country in 20, 30 years or whatever. So they had to let us know that they're about ready to go into this slaughter phase. And so that means, I guess, they're just going to start murdering people in mass, like, right? Like a swarm of them are just going to hone in on New York City and just like hit, you know, and just lay waste.
Yeah, so like you just hide the women and children, kind of like you know what like locusts do to like, you know, harvest and crops.
Yeah, it's that. Yeah, exactly.
But think that, but done to people, and you know, yeah. Anyway, but that's what's happening.
Well, what else am I? What am I supposed to believe? What else am I to think? Let's see. Last fall, the U.S. was introduced to the Asian giant hornet, nicknamed the Murder Hornet, when it was first spotted in Whatcom County, Washington. The hornet presents a serious threat to agriculture that depends on honeybee pollination. According to a report by the Seattle Times, since September 21st, 6 murder hornets have been caught, trapped, or reported in the Blaine area of Whatcom County, Washington.
Wait. So, I mean, all this is because they found 6 of these insects in Whatcom County. That's it.
So far, but let's read on. Surely there's more that we don't see here. The hornet is entering the time frame. Here we go. When it will begin its slaughter phase.
Slaughter phase.
Slaughter phase.
I mean, anything that has a slaughter phase, you know, can't be good for the general population.
Get ready for the slaughter phase.
Yes, yeah. I can imagine this hornet breaking a chair over people's backs,
presenting a critical threat to. Wait a minute. Presenting a critical threat to the honeybee population.
What? You mean they're not slaughtering people?
What?
I think we've been suckered again, man.
So desperate. I've kind of lost my.
You kind of lose your head of steam for this?
Head of steam for murder hornets.
Yeah.
They're gonna wipe out the honeybee population, and we all know that when the honeybee population goes, so goes the world.
Well, I mean, these 6 murder hornets are gonna.
so let's kill these things. Let's kill these 6 guys.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they don't have, like, shoes or fly swatters. I mean, if they're giant hornets, they shouldn't be that hard to miss.
This is pretty badass, though. They will visit apiaries, basically mark a hive, attack it in force, removing every bee from the hive, decapitating them, killing all of the workers, and then spending the next few days harvesting the brood and the pupa out of the hive as a food source.
Holy crap. They sound like they could be like one of those private equity companies we read about last week.
Oh my God, yes. They're gonna, we are here to liquidate you, honeybees.
It's like those guys took notes from the murder hornets.
That's great.
That's terrible. Wow. Low blow. Jeff Fox didn't deserve that.
Yeah, he did. Some bitch. Scroll down and look at the picture of this hornet, though, next to this honeycomb.
Oh, snap,
things
yeah.
Those things are massive.
Oh, yeah. So
I still want them to be, like, slaughtering, like, people, though.
Yeah, I mean, be careful what you wish for, man, because...
Yeah,
you know, we find out that they're in Kentucky. We should try and run. Oh my God.
You know, that's how I'm going to go. I'm going to get diagnosed with COVID-19, and then on my way home, I'm going to get murdered by these murder hornets, and then
they'll count it as a COVID-19.
They'll count it as a COVID-19 death. But all this stuff that I mock and make fun of is what's going to take me out, man.
Well, I mean, you should be, mocking, hookers and blow and dying on a money bed or something like that. You should, if you believe that to be the case, you need to, change your sights a little bit.
Joe, I see this podcast taking a new turn.
You're not going to get killed by murder hornets or hookers and blow or money bed.
All right. Well, that was fun. I want to wrap this up with. Let's see.
What about Harry? Prince Harry.
Okay. I don't have that handy, but go ahead. He's suddenly feeling bad that he didn't take his $50,000 a year education seriously, right?
Yeah, Prince Harry says he took his $55,000 a year private education for granted. Prince Harry said he took his private schooling for granted during the conversation about girls' education with Meghan Markle and Malala the lady that got shot in Pakistan. The Duke and Duchess of Sussex. Wait a second. They're not royal anymore.
No, they resigned or they gave it back, right?
Yeah, I mean they're like Harry and what's her face.
Yeah.
Yeah, teamed up
of nothing.
Harry and what's her face of Shady Park Cove or whatever their street is. Teamed up with Nobel Peace Prize winner to mark International Day of the Girl on a joint video call on Sunday, October 11th, where they spoke about the importance of education and empowering young women. When asked by What's-Her-Face about how education influenced her childhood, that's a silly question to be asking a royal.
Yeah.
The Duke and Duchess said it's something many young people take for granted. Yeah, that's like the dumbest question she could ask, a person who's, meant it. Like, how did education, affect you? Right. Just something I just took for granted. I just, no one, a person who's third, fourth, or, 20th in line to the throne, they don't worry about their education. That's kind of just, Harry spoke about Eton College, $55,355 a year. And he went there from 1998 to 2003. The Duke said he wasn't grateful for his schooling while he was at Eton.
Eh. You know what? I wish I'd have spent more time with Grandpa when I was young. You know, there's all kinds of things I regret. If that's what he regrets, I guess, whatever. You know, this is a topic that I want to have on this show, maybe sooner than later. I don't know, but if our discussions on LGBT and the like didn't get us canceled, this might. But I want to have a discussion on this notion that women have it so bad in this country. This is what I want, Joe. This is truly what I want.
Okay, so wait a minute. So Brian wants to make us both unemployable and undateable. Yeah. Is that what you're trying to say, Brian?
No, but this is what I want, and maybe I want there to be a day where we can talk, tell stories, or whatever, and we don't have to pre-qualify. If I want to tell a story about a guy who, for whatever reason, I don't want to have to be like, oh, he's a black guy, or mm-hmm. or he was a this guy or a that guy. I just want to be able to tell a story about a guy. And likewise, I'm tired of hearing, you know, the first woman, the first whatever. I am inundated with, I understand that women and our little girls and all that are precious. I get it. But you know what? Not at the expense of little boys as well. And it seems like everything is geared towards little girls, and little girls can do whatever they want. And
there you go. And, dangerous talk again, Brian.
It is dangerous talk, but you know, people seem to think that they think that because there's not enough women in the sciences and technology fields that it's obviously got to be because evil men are keeping them out, and it's just, and another thing is this whole I'm just sticking my foot in it more and more, ain't I?
Yeah,
I don't know, man. I shouldn't have jumped in here without having been more prepared, but I just think I just can't watch the news. Everything is about little girls and little girl little girls need to know that they can do anything and all that. As though there is some organization that's putting little girls down and not letting them do whatever they want. So,
you know who the very first person whom I heard say something about that, the need to support little boys.
Quite possibly, I think I do know who it is. Camille Paglia.
No.
Okay.
I don't even know who that is.
Okay, she's this. No, never mind. Go ahead. Who'd you hear it from?
It was Laura Bush.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I think there's something to it, man. I mean, little boys nowadays, if they act like little boys, they moms panic and run, and they put them on drugs to make them more docile. I mean,
we'll come back to that. Huh?
I think it's worth talking about, and if we have any listeners left after this, please come back and listen and keep an open mind, because I love everyone, and all I'm doing is just pointing out little things I see that kind of bother me. But
We have a podcast, and they don't. So
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Was that you or that the soundboard?
Nope, that's me, man.
Yeah, you're pretty good. Okay, so we'll put that in the hopper.
Yeah. So where are we at here? We ought to probably think about wrapping up, which is good. I think we're at our last story.
I have
the one here about the armed groups say that they'll show up to the polling sites on election day.
You want to cover that now, or you want to cover that next week?
We can do it next week.
All right, cool. Yeah, because we got what are we looking like on time?
We're at about one. Yeah, we're at about an hour and a half now.
That's probably a good place for us to be.
Yeah, that's a good number. A good time.
All right, so let's make a promise to ourselves that we will actually cover that, because sometimes things slip.
Well, yeah, we've already committed ourselves to three stories this week that, and I've already forgot the first two. So,
oh snap!
But
I'm sure they'll come back to us.
Yeah, look, we're only at episode 24, man. We've only got infinitum to go.
Yeah. That's what's up. All right, so let's
let's call it. But like before, like, subscribe, share, and yeah. Thank you for joining us. I got a crazy idea, Joe.
What's that?
I'm thinking in 7 days we'll meet up and we'll do this all over again.
You know, that just sounds crazy enough where it just might work.
It just might work. Joe, my man, take care. Talk to you next time.
Next time. You take care. My era. Now I can't hang around my mama cause I scare her. I want the blast, motherfucker.
Yeah, what's up?
It feels like I'm busting a nut when I open you up, cause your body is exposed to the midnight mist. All weak motherfuckers give my ring a kiss, cause I'm giving dirt naps, coming with them dumb ass raps to make your lungs collapse. Perhaps you never sleep, cause every time you doze, you catch blows to the motherfucking nose. Ain't seen the sun in 66 days. Let me count the ways in a fuck. Made a whole state, but I'm down with Drake like AC is down with OJ. So fuck how you're living. I'm the unforgiven, psycho driven murderer. It's organic, don't panic. I can't stand it, god damn it, schizophrenic. So fuck Charlie Manson. I snatch him out his truck, hit him with a brick, and I'm dancing.
Mass murderer, natural born killer, and I don't wanna die.
Trick mine, cause punk motherfuckers wanna violate. Now they stiff and cold, and they pupils won't dilate. It's so much pain, migraine, headache. I can hear his bones break. He steps in a single door, got his ass lit with 20 lashes, like they do up in Singapore. So I'ma pull a fucking Jeffrey Dahmer. Now he's suicidal, just like Nirvana.
Tick tock, tock, tick tock, tick. Dr. Dre and Ice Cube on some murderous shit. Keeping niggas in order, making their life shorter. Ready to slaughter, cause to me a life ain't worth a quarter or a dime. Mushrooms got my mind hallucinating. Ain't no debating, I'm creating an escape.